It is a good morning. I'm going to take my thoughts out of 1 Peter chapter 1 today. So if you wish, you can turn there with me. I am going to start reading in verse 3 to the 25th, which is the end of the chapter. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to those, or I'm sorry, preached to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He has called you holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was with... For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and the enduring Word of God. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the Word that was preached to you. I like these words that our Apostle Peter wrote. And I like to look into these words intently because they bring hope to me. They bring encouraging to me. As life moves on, we find ourselves all the same way, that we become discouraged, that we believe lies that our brain tells us. This last year, in August, I decided that I was tired of being called on to be a song leader and not know how to read music. It seemed like I was not a song leader, but I was a song picker-outer. So I wanted to learn how to read music. And the only way that I was going to learn how to read music is to play a piano. So in August, I started taking piano lessons. And as the piano lessons started getting harder, or longer, or getting more involved, it became harder. It's hard to read the treble clef, and it's hard to read the bass clef at the same time. And it's hard to have your right hand play the treble clef and your left hand play the bass clef. I was getting discouraged, and I thought, what's wrong with me? Why am I so dumb that I can't pick this stuff up? And luckily, I've had some encouragement along the way with my piano teacher. And my wife says, you're in your 40s, Kelly. You're not going to pick up on this pretty quick like the kids. I mean, my kids picked up on this stuff like nothing. So it's become discouraging. And I remember reading in this time a piece of paper that my wife gave me. And in this circle, it has the comfort zone. And it's a big comfort. It's a big circle, the comfort zone. We like to stay in the comfort zone. And then down here is this little circle. And it says, where the magic happens. And so I took myself out of my comfort zone, and I'm trying to get myself into this area where the magic happens. So not only am I trying to learn piano, but I decided this year I was going to change softwares that I use for scheduling services, and it has become quite daunting. It's hard for a 40-something to figure out. I was doing a little bit of research about different generations a while back, and it said the date range of baby boomers. And the year I was born, according to this article, I am the last year of a baby boomer. That really depressed me. No offense, baby boomers. But they were describing, you know, baby boomers would rather pick up a phone and talk to somebody. Generation Y and millennials would much rather text you or Snapchat you or Instagram you or Facebook you. They don't even really want to talk to you. They just want to use their little device to talk to you. And so this has been really hard. Breaking out of this comfort zone that I've been in. Trying to go to where the magic happens. And it's been a tough time for me. And it's created a lot of worry in my mind. And I've started to believe lies that I told myself. And somehow I came across, and I don't know if the people in the congregation saw that I was not myself and they were praying for me, but for some reason I come across this verse. Verse 13. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope fully on the grace to be when you see Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. And I read it, And I read it, and I read it some more. And I realized the big problem is I'm putting my hope in something other than what I'm supposed to be putting my hope into. And so I started reading more about this chapter, and I started reading more things about hope. And the one thing that I just have a few points that I want to bring out. In verse 13, we see that we're supposed to grab a hold of our mind. And we're supposed to think soberly. This doesn't mean somber. This doesn't mean negative. This means to think clearly. And I don't know how many of you in this congregation have ever had a mind that doesn't think clearly. But I often have a mind that doesn't think clearly. And so I start believing all these different lies, or I start thinking with my feelings, and I don't do the right things. And Peter is telling us we need to grab a hold of our mind and start thinking clearly. Well, what should we start thinking about that is clearly? Well, I believe the Apostle Paul writes eloquently in his book Philippians. And in chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things." So the Apostle Paul is really telling us what we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking about truthful things, promising things, things that are good and lovely, not things that are bad. And what are these things that are true? What are these things that are noble? What are these things that are pure that we should be thinking about? And we should be thinking about the promises that God has given us. I think about the promise that God gave the children of Israel, Moses, in Deuteronomy 31 and 6. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." God goes with us in whatever endeavor that we go through. And that is a promise that He has given us. Though we may oftentimes not think so clearly and go off a different way and follow a different hope, He is still going to be there for us when we need Him. That's His promise that He made us. You know, I want to think about another promise. And we find this promise in Revelation chapter 7. I don't know necessarily, maybe it's a promise, but it's something for us to remember, I think, is really important. And what this is describing a war that happened in heaven. And I would like to read this for these ten verses. "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as the flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which is the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here we have the picture of what has happened. There was a war in heaven, and God won. And he cast Satan to the earth like lightning. Satan knows his time is short. And so what is his job? His job is to get you to lose hope. To get to lose hope in a promise that God gave to you. A covenant that we think about every Sunday morning. We think about this promise. We think about this precious blood. Randy's picture up here kind of made it look horrific, and I'm sure it was a horrific scene. But that blood is precious. Without that blood, the promise that God gave us wouldn't be working. He gave us a promise that he was going to forgive us of our sins, no matter how bad we are. As long as we have a contrite heart, as long as we are penitent, as long as we are trying, God is going to forgive us. And that is the pure and lovely, truthful, admirable thing to think about. When we go back to considering Revelation, what we read with that war, what I find so interesting is that Satan's evil was outwitted. It was outwitted. When you consider the Old Testament and the whole process of Christ dying on the cross, Satan was trying to win. He was trying to cause the world to sin so much that God would destroy the world with a flood. But God saved eight. Think of all the other times where Satan thought he was going to win, but God outwitted him. Satan thought he won. He was laughing with delight when he saw Jesus on the cross. But he was outwitted when Jesus rose on the third day. We need to remember this. This is truthful. God has won. Satan has lost. So we need to think about these things. We get so tied up in the world with all of our plans, with all of our deadlines. And we get wrapped up in them and we forget about what's going to happen at the end of days. And we put our hope in trying to make some money so that we can provide for our children. Trying to do these things on here on earth to make our life easy. And it's easy to get ensnared in those things and forget about Christ revealing at the end of time. Let us remember to put our hope in that and realize that the rest is just the rest. We're going to offer a gospel invitation today. If there is anybody here who has heard the word of God, they've read it, and they have come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they want to be a part of God's family, we're going to offer an opportunity to come forward and to be baptized into God's fold.